Welcome back to Today with Dr. K. I'm Dr. K. Wise Whitehead. Folks, we just had a conversation about two things. One, we were talking about the impact of natural disasters on economically challenged communities. And then we went into a conversation where we took a look, a long, hard look at the new report that came out about the fact that Black folks are now the largest consumers of technology. And that includes podcasts. That includes our time on Twitter through Black Twitter. That includes the amount of time we spend playing games. Gaming is a really big in the African-American community. We are the number one consumers of radio. And as a host here at WEAA, I'm happy about that. Our spending base, which is currently $1.3 trillion, is predicted to go up to $1.54 trillion by 2022. Now, when you start talking about how many Black people are we talking about, African Americans, making up between 13.1% and 14% of the population, when you look at that, that's about 47.4 million African Americans in this country. I argue, and I want to hear from you before I go to my guest, I argue that we as parents should be the ones regulating the technology for our child. I have Professor Harrison here talking about how much his children use technology. Folks, if your children are using technology, you don't blame the technology. You have to blame the person who's paying for the technology. You have to blame the person who's giving them access to the technology. You have to blame the person who can take the technology from them. I want to talk to Gene from Pikesville. How are you?
Now, I thought you were going to sort of change the subject, but I am qualified.
We are. We're getting ready to change and talk about violence in the schools, but I thought you were on hold for this topic. How are you, Gene?
Yeah, pretty good. So, you know, just briefly, my son went through the Year Up program. And I don't know if you're familiar with
it. No, I'm not. What's the Year Up program?
Year Up program is a program where they get kids from the inner cities and who are at risk but who have potential.
Okay.
And what they do is they train them for STEM occupations. And so it's a...
Oh, that's pretty good.
Yeah, you know what I mean? So we say, well, let's do a little alternative thing because the college thing is real expensive or whatever. But he was going to college but really wasn't into it, wanted to be a write code and that kind of stuff. So let's just try another thing. So we gave him the rah-rah and put him
okay.
in, you know, in a program. So he graduated number one. We're really proud of that. And he got the internship. And so he's working for up in Pennsylvania for one of the largest banks in America, and he's learning how to write code. Most of the people who are in this profession are people from India.
Yes.
And so
yes, it is the great equalizer. We understand that technology is the great equalizer.
Yeah. So you know, we don't have to go into that. So, you know how that happened. Well, we know how it happened. But you know, the majority of the people who work there are from India. The management are Caucasians, and he's the only African American.
Wow.
So this is, So I'm giving you some insight into how this works in America.
It's interesting because I have a friend who is the vice president of an engineering company, and she
right.
often says that engineering, science, is
right.
the great equalizer because it does
right.
not matter what your race is, what your gender is, what your
yes.
background. If you can code, then you have a chance to advance in that field.
Yeah, so, you know, so me too. I was in electronic banking in the 80s. And so, the inception of the, when banking used the internet to transfer funds and those little credit card machines and issuing credit cards, that's the business that I was in, you know, back in the day. So, on the technology thing is some kind of way, we're going to have to get into the implementation of the products and the, that these phones are being made and then, applications and
the apps being the ones where we are not just consuming, but we are creating,
and
right?
Be employed and start companies and da da da. So,
okay.
I'm proud of my little son. He called me today and he wanted $1,200. I
told
him, go into your 401k, borrow some money from
yourself,
pay yourself back.
Oh, my. So, yes. Okay. So, in one hand, I'm happy that you're telling him to take some ownership. On the other hand, I'm saying, hey, don't borrow against your 401k. Go for the long haul. All right, Gene, thank you so much for calling. Folks, I want to switch topics and talk to Margot Delarive. She is an 11th grader at George Washington Carver Center for Arts and Technology in Baltimore County. Her op-ed came out in the Baltimore Sun today, and it's called "It's Surreal That We Students Are Learning to Fight for Our Lives at School." So I want to look at this from two angles. One, talking about the ways that children are now dealing with the realities of the possibility of an armed shooter coming into their building, and I want to hear from you on that. And then from the other angle, where our young people are dealing with violence in the streets, because the number of students who are reporting that they are being robbed on the way to or from school here in Baltimore City, that has increased. So we're going to talk about this violence in the school things. Feel free to chime in, 410-319-8888. I have Margo on the phone. Thank you so much for joining us.
Of course. Thank you so much for having me.
First, I enjoyed your op-ed, and I want to kind of have you take my listeners through what you were talking about, because you were saying in this op-ed that you're learning something called Alice.
Yes, that's right. So Alice is essentially a Baltimore County response to the Maryland Safety Schools Act of 2018, and essentially the premise is that we're changing. In the past, when there would, if there was a situation in which there was an active assailant in the building, the reaction would be the same as any lockdown, which would be, you know, hide under your desk, stay quiet, don't do anything. And essentially what Alice is trying to do is change that mentality and say, if you can evacuate, evacuate. If you can fight back, fight back. And in theory, it's very interesting, but in practice, it's just, what my article was basically trying to convey was just how surreal it was and how ludicrous it was that we were learning how to pin down an attacker with an AR-15. So that's basically the idea of it.
And so I want to take people through Alice. So A-L-I-C-E. So it's alert. Now, alert is when they're telling you the information. Do they tell you on your phones? Does it typically come across the announcement? Like, how are they alerting you to the dangers in the building?
So essentially it's, the idea. So we've been doing for the past couple of days, we've been given scenarios basically. And we've been in each class, we're supposed to talk through like how we would deal with that scenario, like in that classroom, in that location in the building. And the general idea is the first thing to do for Alice is alert the main office. And once the main office is alerted, call 911. And all of the schools in the building are basically routed so that help will come immediately as soon as 911 is dialed, and they will know exactly which classroom it's coming from. So the alert component is really just, like, get the word out, make sure that everyone knows what is happening. One of the parts of Alice is actually, the alert component is the sound of gunshots. And when we heard that, like, some people in the auditorium laughed because they were like, oh, well, that's so obvious. But one thing that I mentioned in my op-ed is that last year I was sitting in class with my friends and we were just talking, having a conversation, and a balloon popped in the hallway and we ran into the closet for 10 minutes. So it's not that obvious. And I think the thing with Alice is that we're trying to make sure that we are reacting that way, whether or not it's actually an emergency, because it could happen.
And so the L is for lockdown, where you're supposed to, from what I understand with the op-ed, and I've heard about this before, you lock down the room, you use your belts, you tie the door closed, you do whatever you can to keep the assailant from getting into the classroom.
Yeah, exactly.
Now, what's the I with the inform? Who are you informing?
The inform is basically, and this was interesting because we were in a handbook talk, so people have just been saying, like, don't take your phones out in class no matter what. But the inform is basically like get the word out. It's a lot like alert. It makes sure you're getting all the information you can because, you know, every second is relevant.
Right.
You know, the shooter could be going from the third floor to the second floor. So if you can like text out on social media or something and say like, oh, like I just saw the shooter, like it's.
So just now you're alerting people if you're seeing things. Now, let me get to counter, because you put in your op-ed that this really was just, it was almost funny to you, this idea of you and your classmates actually looking to stop the assailant. They said to use noise and movement and distraction.
Yeah.
Can you talk about that a little bit? Because I'm not sure that they actually want you to get in a position and fight back in case the assailant gets in the room, to take a defensive stance.
Yeah. So basically they say counter is of course, like, last option is if the assailant is, like, in front of you, they're coming into the room, but they want you to be prepared and to know how to take down someone with a gun. So, like, a lot of people were like, so, like, do we have to learn, like, self-defense? Do we have to take classes
right.
and stuff? But the main idea is they're just going to give us some pointers and hope that in the moment we know what to do.
Now, how long is this training going to take place, Margo?
So we started with just, like, a basic, like, one-hour talk to talk about, like, why we were doing it. Now, for the past couple of days, we've been giving, like I said, scenarios.
Right.
To kind of figure out, like, hypothetically what we would do. And I'm fairly sure that in the next couple of days and next Wednesday, I believe, we are going to have, like, actual active assailant drills where we, like, play it out.
Okay. So now I have one more question to ask you. I think it's kind of the obvious question here, Marco. Do
yes.
you think that the training that you're dealing with, this Alice training that you're dealing with, is actually going to be able to help you if an armed shooter gets into your building?
Well, you know, I can never tell for sure. I think that our school administration is really just doing the best they can. At the handbook talk, like, the vice principal kept repeating, like, I didn't go to school for this. Like, I didn't know I was going to have to be telling 11th graders how to pin down a guy with a gun.
Right.
So I think it's better than just sitting around and hoping for the best. But obviously it's, like I said, like how much can we really do in that situation?
Thank you so much, Margo Delery. She is an 11th grader at Carver, and she, along with her school, is in the middle of Alice training, getting ready in case an armed assailant gets inside of the building. They are supposed to be able to react. Thank you for joining us. So, folks, what's interesting is, as I was thinking about this, and it's happening in Baltimore County, I thought it was also happening in Baltimore City, and I have not found any information to actually just verify that Baltimore City students are learning what to do. I mean, Margo just said it's kind of at least it's a scenario to put in place, teaching young people how to react if an armed shooter gets inside of their classroom. And these scenarios are actually based in reality. I mean, it just recently happened that a gunman killed 5 people in California before taking his own life. We think about all the school shootings we've had this past year alone, from January to now, and what that means for our children to deal with this new reality. I pulled a quote from Dan Gross. He's the president of the Brady Campaign to Prevent Gun Violence. He's saying that one thing that can help is to have background checks for all gun sales, that will cut down on what is taking place inside of the schools and inside of our communities. Here's a quote from him. He says, "For every great movement around the world, there's a moment when you can look back and say, that's when things really started to change. For the movement to end gun violence in America, that moment is here." So we have a couple of issues on the table, which all deal with our children, because there's a direct correlation that they have found when children are putting out onto social media their plans for what they're looking to do in the schools. That's why whenever this happens, the first thing they end up doing is going and checking the social media, and they've seen a pattern there. So is there a way that we can regulate social media usage among our children, which will also help to cut down on what's happening in terms of armed gunmen, typically students, getting into our schools? How do we deal with this? How do we deal with this surge in violence, as well as the fact that we are consuming so much technology? Do the two things have anything to do with each other? Is there any kind of convergence effect going on? Do we find that the more our children engage with, say, Fortnite, where they are shooting and killing people on the screen, the more that violence becomes something that's normalized to them? The more our children play these games where they have weapons, where they, you know, amass points, being aggressive, being in terms of their verbal communication skills, the type of language they're using with one another in these games. I don't know if you've ever listened online to young people playing Fortnite. It is outrageous, the things that they're saying. The games also have kind of a misogynistic quality to them. Is that also finding its way into what we're seeing in our society? Technology, I'm thinking, is a part of this. I have Curtis on the phone from Northeast Baltimore. Curtis, how are you? How are you doing, Curtis? Hello, Curtis. How are you?
I'm great. I'm great. just want to speak on a couple of things. I think I missed the part with the technology with the children and all.
Yes.
But as far as, like, the gun violence in America, I don't think that's going to end in my lifetime or yours.
Okay.
First of all, the only way that I see the gun violence ending in America is if guns become illegal throughout America. You can't, and this is just my opinion, Dr. K.
Okay.
You cannot say who is going to do what on what day.
I agree. You cannot.
Because you never know what's going through a person's mind or what a person is going through at the time that they do is that they do.
Right.
You understand what I'm saying?
I understand what you're saying.
So, and with the gun violence, if you think about it, if you stop and think about it, Dr. K.
Right.
They're always talking about, well, criminals not getting guns or keep guns out of criminal hands. Most of the people who commit all of these mass killings
are getting them legally. You're getting them legally. I know where you're going,
exactly.
Curtis. Yes.
They don't have a criminal record, Dr. K.
Yes.
They don't have a criminal record. So what is that saying? That's saying that all the scientific work that they putting into trying to identify these
type of
people.
It's not working.
It's not working. You know what, Dr. K?
Right.
It will never work.
Wow.
It will never work because, again, like I said, you don't know what a person is going through at that point.
But see, but now that my thing is, Curtis, okay, so we don't know what a person's going through. I'm going to give you that. But my thing is if we remove the guns, at least if they start to go through something, they don't have ready access to their father's pistol, to the shotgun, to the AR-15, where they can then inflict damage on a wide number of people.
Right.
See, that's my problem, is that, you know, when they're going through these issues, and we know, let's be very clear, that we're talking about white male domestic terrorists, right? Because those are the ones committing these mass shootings. But when they go out, they're not just damaging the people who get hurt in this. It's also families. It's communities. It has an effect across the country. It makes all of us feel unsafe, even though the shooting happened in Florida and I'm in Baltimore.
Right. I understand that. Look, Dr. K, I have one child of my own, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I protect my child with every inch of my life, with my last breath.
I'm with
right?
you. I'm with you.
And I feel so sorry for the children that's, you know, growing up today in this world because, you know, they should not have to go through trying to learn how to protect themselves
and
defend themselves
and
everything
else. Because you know what they're doing? They're taking away instructional time, Curtis, to teach them this.
Right.
This is not after school. This is during school.
Yeah, it's just a terrible world.
It is.
That's the reason why it took me so long to just have one child.
I agree. I understand where you are. Thank you so much, Curtis. Folks, we're talking about school shootings, safety, technology, all these things are tied together. I'm going to make the argument. You can call and tell me if you disagree. I think that those video games do have a place in this conversation. I don't think we can talk about the type of violence being meted out by young people towards other young people without thinking about technology. And who is it that's supposed to be the gateway between technology and your child? It's supposed to be you. You don't blame the technology. You don't blame it at all. When something happens, I can't blame that thing. It's me. I chose to eat that food and get sick. I chose to expose my child to technology. I have to be the ones to blame. So when can we take more responsibility? I have Stephen on the phone from Woodlawn. Stephen, how are you?
I'm good, Dr. K.
Thank you for joining the conversation.
Topic. Great topic again. I wanted to say there's been studies regarding computer usage or phone usage and mood disorders. And, late night phone usage disrupts your sleep rhythm, and it can increase your mood disorders, especially in neuroticism or bipolar disorder.
Mm-hmm.
So that aspect of it can play a role. You know what I mean? The aspect of gaming, all times of night, television watching.
I think so.
can, and, you know, clearly being on our phones addicted to them, can play a role in young people who clearly most likely have been undiagnosed in their mood disorders, having them be exacerbated by the lack of sleep that they're receiving. So, and being, again, egged on. But at the same time, you know, we've had these school shootings, and it's not like all of the ones that we're talking about, Parkland. I think there was a shooting down in San Antonio, Texas.
Oh, yeah, there's one here in Maryland. There's so many of them.
No. I'm talking specifically about, like, young people that have talked about they were going to
be
a school shooter.
Yes.
And you know what I mean? Like, these, some of these people, the young man who went and killed the two young ladies down in Texas.
Yes.
Like, they were members of online message boards.
Right. Well, they put information out there.
Exactly.
Yes.
And the FBI have, these people have been reported to the FBI. Like, it's not like they were being, they weren't being watched by their community.
Right.
Or the community was not warned about who these people were and what they were capable of. Same thing with this young man from Columbia who went down to, Jacksonville and shot those people, 12 people there. It's like, he had been submitted for psychiatric tests 24 times and was still able to receive a gun. So it's not, you know what I mean? There's something.
Right. So, what do we do? I'm just wondering, Stephen. I'm trying to figure out, what do we do? Now, there's been some talk. I'm just going to throw this out to you before we go to break, and then you're free to hold on, and you can answer when we come back to break. But there's been some talk about maybe the government needs to step in. There are people who are talking about the government stepping in and regulating our technology use. You know, turning the internet off. They're saying since we can't seem to handle it and we can't regulate it in our own homes, then maybe they need to step in and help us. Stephen, hold on over the break, because I want to find out from you, and I want other people to call as well. Should the government regulate technology? 410-319-8888. This is Today with Dr. K. Let's talk about that when I return.
This is WEAA News Director Julius White. Here are some of the things you and your family can do to be ready for possible impacts from Hurricane Florence. Make sure you have food and water for at least 3 days. Stock it with food items that are non-perishable. A gallon of water per person per day is recommended. Have flashlights and batteries, toilet paper, soap and sanitizing wipes, a can opener, first aid supplies, spare eyeglasses, prescriptions and extra medication, and necessary equipment or devices. Pet supplies. Have a radio, especially one that runs on batteries or a hand crank. Next, make a plan. Gather phone numbers. Write out contact information for workplaces, schools, doctors, insurance, and other important numbers, and keep it in your kit. Create backups of your important documents or files and store them in a secure, waterproof place. And, of course, stay informed. Stay with us at WEAA 88.9 FM for the very latest in severe weather information.
Every day, there are musically gifted young people who aspire to be in the spotlight. They dream to be just as successful as the artists who inspired them to create their very own music. Join Robert Shaheed in Masterclass as he highlights such gifted individuals that absolutely need to be heard. Monday through Friday at noon, only on WEAA 88.9 FM, the voice of the community.
Your source for cool jazz and more. WEAA 88.9 FM, the voice of the community.
Welcome back to Today with Dr. K. I'm Dr. K. Wise Whitehead. Folks, we're talking about, I guess, the intersection between technology, between our children, between school shootings, between what we call these mood disorders. And I was talking with Stephen. I know Stephen held on. Thank you for holding on, Stephen. I want to put that question out to you again. Do you think that the government should step in and regulate our technology usage, which is essentially having the government step in and tell us the hours that we can use the internet and then turn it off when those hours are up? What do you think, Stephen?
I think that the rate of technological acceleration and adoption that has been forced on us by people who are profit driven is really what the problem is that the government, yes, the government should be involved. The government should have been involved, you know, 20 years ago in reducing or slowing down the rate of technological acceleration in our society. You know what I mean? But clearly, as technology has accelerated, so has the dysfunction in Congress. And so they have left Amazon, Facebook, Twitter. What's the body? All of the facial recognition.
All of them. Everything is happening, right? So
exactly.
It's the ways in which it's running amok. You're saying the government should have been involved a while ago, and because it wasn't, we had things like the Black Lives Matter page on Facebook, the biggest group being run by Russians. We have white supremacists running Black Lives Matter pages. So we have those type of things happening because there hasn't been any regulation. But does that mean they should turn the internet off?
Yeah, no. Like I said, I think the internet is in of itself a different ecosystem that I don't think needs to be quote unquote turned off.
Okay,
I'm sure Comcast would love to, you know, turn off some people's and turn on other people's and charge you for it.
Yeah,
and you know what I mean. Like, and Facebook would love to be able to control who sees what when. And I think that net neutrality clearly plays a part in what it is that, you know, you're suggesting with that or has been suggested.
That's just a question that we're just throwing out there. Thank you so much, Stephen.
Nope.
Folks, let me just ask you, you know, is it time for the government, Big Brother and Big Sister, to step in and help us out? Because apparently we don't know how to control our use of social media, our use of technology, and we don't seem to be able to control it in our children. So we have our children playing Fortnite, and then we wonder why we're seeing an increase in shooting and violence. We have our children being bullied all night long, and we wonder why we see an increase in violence and in shootings. We have our children being exposed to the influence of all of these people around the world at this point, and then we get surprised when we see the behavior that we don't like. I'm wondering, should the government step in and control our use of technology? We have Leo on the phone. Leo, how are you?
Yes, Dr. K-Wise Whitehead, how are you today?
I'm doing well.
Well, as always, you have a wonderful show, and yeah, I think the government, we've got to explore the possibility of having the government step in.
Wow.
Think about this. The video games promote violence in too many instances.
Right.
The Federal Communications Commission doesn't want to get involved because they are working at the behest of the cultural or the rich folk, the elite, the corporate elite, the super rich, less than 1% of the population that controls the economy of the entire world. Theoretically, I have a master's degree. I have no criminal record, but and my degree is in computer science, but I can't find a job because they've automated and cybernated businesses in such a way as to eliminate the people who were working there. There's no training time built into reestablishing new jobs, so I'm out of work if I don't own my own business. Cell phones and smartphones are just, I call it cell phone or smartphone mania. I mean, folks are going bananas. I'm on the metro. I'm on the subway. Nobody's looking up anymore.
No, those days are gone, Leo. Nobody's looking
up.
They
don't look up at anything. They got something, wires in their ears, in their behinds, in their feathers lighting up on their heads, and they act like they're automated, robotic creatures that can't relate to people, even in conversation. So we've got to struggle through this. I wish I had all the answers. I don't. I think your other callers will have answers. But, yeah, we've got to struggle with ways in which we can control the technology,
lest the
technology control our lives totally.
And at this point, it is slowly creeping up to where it's controlling our lives. I just want to throw something back. And Joey, hold on, because I'm going to come to you. Leo, I want to push back just a little bit, because I know that everybody's looking down. Like you said, things could happen. Nobody notices. But if you go back and look at pictures from perhaps your generation when you were growing up, people were on these places and they were looking down at their newspapers, at their books. They were not looking up either.
Yeah,
so it's not as if we moved from this time when we had all this communication happening in the public square, and now we don't because of technology.
Yeah, but when you're looking down at newspapers, you could hear.
Okay.
The census are now being distorted in such a way that you're, it's all consuming. It's as if you've got blinders on and someone, you've been enslaved by a system that not only keeps you from surviving economically,
right,
unless you own your own business, but you're mentally bereft. I mean, you're bereft of your senses because you are psyched up,
right,
on whatever video is teaching extreme violence and advocating a gun and drug culture. The drug and gun culture is promoted and enhanced by the automated systems that we have operating in this country today.
And that's what we're trying to do.
That exists.
That's why we need to step in. Thank you so much, Leo. Folks, I mean, the conversation here is, should the government, what people used to call Big Brother, and I would add Big Sister, since we can't control ourselves, should the government step in and control the technology for us? Turn the internet off. Just say, you know what, in America, at this, from this point forward, depending upon where you are, you know, 9 o'clock, we're turning it off because you need to start spending time with your family. Should the government have that much control over our lives? And understand, folks, they have done that. Think about what happened after the Boston bombing. There were portions of that city where the internet was turned off so that they can more easily, you know, control what was happening, control the flow of information, and also catch the people who were responsible. We have Joey on the phone from Odington. Joey, how are you?
I'm well, Dr. K. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you.
You know, this technology thing, it should be no surprise to anybody who's paying attention. That's the first thing. The second thing is we have young men going to Afghanistan and Iraq and all these places and then coming back and populating the police forces.
Right.
And we see the mentality with which they treat people in this country. I mean, the inhumanity of it all is quite astonishing.
Right.
And they're the generation of people who were raised playing Mortal Kombat and gaming for sport and mass murder, running people down with cars and video games and so on and so forth. And you can't tell me that that is not a major contributor,
right,
to,
right,
the breakdown,
right,
of our society, because that's what's happening. It isn't, you know, our society is literally breaking down.
Yes, it is.
It's deteriorating.
It is.
And, you know, I mean, absolutely, we have to take the reins and use some common sense and start applying some general decency with respect to this technology. You know, I don't allow my kids 24-hour access,
okay,
to my small children. They don't have cell phones, you know, and I don't think that we should rely on the government to get involved. I think, as with many other issues that are going on, we need to address these things in a family and community,
okay,
level. You know what I mean? The last, okay, thing I think we want to do is open up the door to the government controlling more of what they're already proven to be unable to do. They're inept,
right,
at governing.
Right.
At this point, you know what I mean?
So anything at this point, we don't want to give them more. But here's the thing, though. I'm just going to ask you one last question before I let you go. Given that we're not doing a very good job of it, because, I mean, I would argue that we're not. I mean, you may be doing it individually. I mean, but, you know, writ large, we're not doing a very good job of it. Don't you think the government can step in and help us out here? Like, shut this thing down so that people can get back some control over their households.
Yeah. And, you know, the last point that I wanted to make, Dr. K, you know, with respect to technology, is just because you can do something doesn't necessarily,
okay,
mean that you should. No, I'm not saying that about the government. I'm saying, okay, we can make an atomic bomb that'll kill millions of people at one time. But should we?
Yeah.
You understand,
okay,
what I'm saying?
I see what you're
and
saying.
Some of this technology
I see what you're
that's
okay.
been unleashed, you know, all this great innovation, just because we can do something, sure.
Doesn't mean we should. And then that is the question. Thank you so much. That's a very good question, Joey. Just because we can, should we? Because the government can step in, should it step in? I don't know, folks, but I do know that I've heard parent after parent complain about how much technology their child uses. They're on the phone all the time, can't seem to talk to them, playing all the games. They're always engaged. I don't know what's happening. Well, if you don't know what's happening, then maybe the government needs to step in and help you because you can't seem to figure it out. Let's talk about it. 410-319-8888. We have Onaja on the phone. Onaja, how are you? I know they're working on the phones here. How are you, sir or ma'am?
How are you,
Dr. I'm doing well. Thank you for calling us. I can hear you.
Yeah, you know, I was hesitant to call in because sometimes when you feel yourself getting enraged, you need to sit back and calm down and collect your thoughts.
I'm glad you called, though. This is a hot topic. I'm glad you called.
Yes. So, you know, I'm thinking about that first, the Alice, and the, you know, these kids nowadays, they're losing instruction time to almost everything. And it's reflecting in test scores,
right,
and overall educational development. And the fact that we need to do this, it has to be, and no disrespect to any of the other callers or yourself, government stepping in to impede our technology use is really not the issue.
Okay.
The issue is mental health.
Mm.
And as we've noticed over history, when you shift from one type of society, as we went from farming to industrial,
right,
there has always been a byproduct of mental health issues. And now we're shifting from industrial to consumer society. And the byproduct of that is that we are over consumers of everything.
Yeah, we are. That's what the study was I shared at the top of the show. We overconsume, and we're the biggest consumers of technology right now. I mean, but
now,
oh, that gets me to thinking, because if the government steps in to regulate, if we're the biggest consumers, who are they regulating?
They're regulating themselves, because they always choose for us to overconsume,
mm,
because it is the mover of the economy.
Yes, it is.
And we would be affecting the rich and elite's pocketbook. So it's not that, I don't think it's that hard for us to step in, but I think most of us as parents, we overconsume so that we don't have to deal with these children.
And which is something we have to talk about. Thank you so much, Onaja, for calling. We have Monica on the phone. Monica, how are you?
Well, thank you, Dr. K, for taking my call.
Absolutely.
I definitely agree with Onaja with technology taking the place of actual parenting,
right,
in a lot of homes. And I'm going to offer pushback that it's not a mental health issue.
Mm.
I feel that it's a lot of parents out here that are actually allowing technology to run their homes,
right,
instead of them stepping in. Comcast has applications that allow you to turn off the internet in your own home. So for everybody here to say that, you know, we should have government step in, those measures are already in place,
mm,
for parents to turn off the technology in the home so they can control who, what phone calls the kids make, what they see on the internet, on their phone. They don't have to have phones by a certain age, but when they get to middle school and high school, if your school doesn't have the technology, the school allows the students to use their phones.
I know, I've seen computers, those classrooms, Monica, where they pull out their phones because there,
yes,
are no computers in the classroom. So
exactly,
they don't have a lot of safeguards in place if there are no computers in the building.
Exactly.
Yes.
So government stepping in is not the answer. Government is part of the reason why we are where we are today.
Mm.
So how are we going to ask the person who created this mess to come in now and fix this mess?
That's a good point. Thank you so much, Monica.
Thank you.
We have Ms. Johnson on the phone. She's a new caller from Columbia. Ms. Johnson, welcome to the family.
Thank you, Dr. K.
Thank you for calling.
I was calling. I used to be a teacher and,
yes,
also have a computer science degree.
Oh, nice. Okay.
And helped develop cell phones.
Oh, wow. Well, I am glad you called. Glad to have,
yes,
your perspective.
And when I was helping with the development of cell phones, they were being developed to use for emergency purposes for the police departments and hospitals and, like, 911 calls. And when it went to the public, I thought that that was very unnecessary for the very reasons that you all are talking about today, parents not being parents, it's now a lot of the kids, they're like, wait a minute, don't take my brain.
Mm.
And they're talking about their
cell phone. Wow.
Because when we were growing up, we used our brain, And we had to remember phone numbers,
yes,
addresses.
Learn how to use a map.
How to use a calculator, how to use a map, and basic fundamentals. If somebody takes your brain and now they can control you,
mm-hmm.
what does that do to society?
Right.
You can control the people that you want to control. When you say that African Americans are the largest consumer,
Monica, Ms. Johnson, did we lose you?
No.
Oh,
when
okay.
you say that
oh.
African Americans are the largest
yes.
consumer, and that's where we spend our money,
yes,
and the 1% is the one that's getting that money, and then you're talking about regulating.
Who
then
are you regulating?
It
yes.
is
yes.
a new form of.
Yep, it's enslavement. It's our Jim Crow. It's segregating our society. What's interesting is that, you know, Ms. Johnson, I know because you're in the field, how many stories we've heard from the people who create the technology who don't even allow their own children to use it. Which I think is just fascinating that
right.
they made sure that they created things but didn't put into the hands of their own children. But our children are using them.
Right. And then when you look at, it's like now in schools, they're talking about teaching children how to protect themselves. Well, if you take the guns away and schools are safe, what do you need that for?
Right. Ask the question.
And so who is the biggest consumer of weapons in this country?
It's white men.
Okay.
Yep, so there you have it. All right, thank you so much, Ms. Johnson. I appreciate you calling. We have Colin on the phone from Baltimore. Colin, how are you? Thank you for holding.
I'm good, Dr. K. Good afternoon.
Good afternoon.
That's a slippery slope, Dr. K.
Ah.
Asking the government to come in and take control and do what we should be doing on our own.
Are you saying we can't trust
idea?
The government, Colin? Wait
you
a minute.
Oh, yeah, okay. Tongue in cheek. Yes, yes. No, we cannot. And
no.
we do not need the government to step in to take even more of our rights and
yes.
abilities away from us. Why? That's incomprehensible to me. If we as adults and parents take the time to raise our children, we wouldn't have all of these societal issues
right.
that we have. What's so hard about telling your child to put the phone down or adjusting your plan
right.
or turning off the internet so you can have family time at the dinner table or so you can they can do their homework or whatever it is that needs to be done? Why can't we take the responsibility and be the air quote adult
right.
and regulate our own homes? Why do you ask the government to come in and say, discipline me, regulate me, because I can't do it myself?
Right.
The government has already shown how
yes.
incapable it is of being responsible. And then who is the government, Dr. K, and what exactly is that? Who are we asking to come in and do these things?
Yes. And where does it stop, right? The question is, too,
where does it stop?
It won't
stop.
It's
like we're giving up our rights, just like the caller just said. Why would you ask to take my gun? Therefore, the kids would be protected in school.
Right.
It's a slippery slope, Dr. K.
It is. I'm glad you called, Colin.
Give up my rights. You have a good day.
You too. So, folks, we're talking about should the government, whoever you imagine the government to be, we're talking really about Congress, should they make laws where they are regulating technology? They're saying that we can't seem to be able to do it on our own. And folks, this is not just a hypothetical. There are conversations happening among politicians that maybe we need to step in and regulate. 410-319-8888. We have JC on the phone. Welcome to the show.
Thanks for taking my call.
Absolutely.
The whole regulation, you took it right, the thought just right out of my head here. Just a couple of days ago, on the show, there was a conversation about a charter school, sending home papers to the parents, like consent forms or permission slips or what have you, to allow these teachers and administrators to paddle their children.
Right, in Georgia, yes.
And so, to me, it kind of brings that back to mind because, again, like your previous callers have talked about, it's a parent's responsibility to raise their children. And, years back, I'm going to give it 10 years ago, where this whole, if you spank your child, you'll be disciplined, you're going to be abusing your child. So this whole, the way I discipline my child, it didn't even up and have to be spanking. People just began to fear their children, and the children learned this quickly. And now, instead of the parents trying to discipline their children and raise them properly and teach them morals and values, the children become very disobedient, very disrespectful, because they feel like, you can't say anything to me. And in turn, these children go to school and they're disrespectful to their teachers and their administrators, because the parents feel like the government, you know, quote unquote, who that government may be, I know it's Congress, but, you know, that they've taken that right away from them to raise their children the way they want to. So now, not only did the government do that, and simultaneously, they put out these, like this electronic and these computers and cell phones and what have you, and we all become so dependent on this. We're dependent on it in the hospitals. We're dependent on it at school. My children, I just signed a form saying that my daughter's going to bring home a device. This device is $1,500.
Okay.
She needs this device to do her homework, her curriculum. Everything is real. What's the purpose of me going to buy school supplies, notebooks, and binders, and pencils, if you're going to send them home a device that their coursework and homework and everything is checked on? I want you to check their homework. I don't check their assignments based on what I see in their notebook. I have to go to the device.
Okay.
Or I have to pull out my phone and pull up there. So they rely on these the same technology that we, and then not only that, we give it to our kids
at a young age.
We take it away from them as punishment. I mean, like,
well, I'm gonna stop you there, JC. Thank you so much for calling. I just want to get to a couple more phone calls before we wrap up. I have Tavon on the phone. Tavon, how are you?
I'm well. How you doing, Dr. K?
I'm doing well, thank you.
I want to say the thing about technology. When technology is used properly in its right format, it's the best thing that ever happened to us, obviously, as we progress in time. And this is just the surface of what technology will become even 10 years from now.
Okay.
As far as parenting goes, the quality of parenting is diminishing as the generations go by. Whether or not it's because the parents are becoming younger, I can't pinpoint that. But the fact of the matter is, people don't instill, like the lady said, the people said prior, don't instill the values and morals in their own children.
Well, then, do we need the government to step in? Because the government is saying they can help us with that. The government says, no problem.
Oh,
we can help you. When we regulate the internet, since you cannot stop your child, don't worry, Tavon. We got you covered. We'll turn it off for you.
No. No, I don't need the government to regulate my household, because me and my wife have that. When we sit down and eat dinner, there's no TV, no telephones, nothing. And sometimes I do it purposely, take my phone in the kitchen and pull it out at the table. And then my daughter came up the other day and dropped the tissue off, me and Chelsea. We came up the other day and dropped the tissue off.
Yes, I remember. Your 5-year-old, she was on the air with me.
Yep.
Yes.
Yeah. I'll pull my phone out of the table, and she said, "Oh, Daddy, you got your phone out of the table. Mommy, Daddy got his phone at the table." I do that to make sure she understands the severity of this. This is our family time. We asked her how her day was. I asked my wife how work was. She asked me how work was, and we talked about our day. A lot of these issues come with people not knowing their kids. There's no way in the world, and in some cases, kids get older, and they become more secretive and sneaky.
Right, right.
But there's no way in the world your kids should be in there in his room with the door closed, making a bomb or plotting out a school shooting.
Come on.
You don't have any idea.
Come on. And let's not forget, I'm gonna go, Tavon. Let's not forget that the biggest consumers of online pornography now, it's 13 and 14-year-old boys. Like, let's not forget that. If your son's in the room with the door closed and you don't know what's going on, it could be anything on that screen. Thank you so much, Tavon. We have Cole on the phone from West Baltimore. Cole, how are you? Thank you for holding.
Hello?
Hello, how are you?
Yeah, it's supposed to have been Paul. She put the wrong
one,
but it's okay.
How you doing, Paul? And I know your voice, Paul. How you feel?
I'm doing good. This is, you know what, Dr. K, I love your show. This is a good topic because a lot of the knowledge and women, the stuff you hear from different calls is very educational. The woman that was just on there, I forgot what her name was. Anyway, there was a lot of information that she gave. Now, I just want to, you know, there's so much going on right now with our young people, but we got to keep in mind the household. It starts in the household.
Right, it does.
Everything starts in the household. Now, I would advise women, seriously, stop trying to be the man of the house. Stop it.
Oh, man, hold on now, Paul. How are you going to call when it's the last 30 seconds of the show and you're going to drop that bomb? Come on now, Paul.
Because
because the thing is, we got to get order back in the house.
Oh,
you
okay.
Black, you women are scaring men, and they're
okay.
running rapidly.
Okay, we now, I, unfortunately, home. They're wrapping me up. Like, we got to give them a rap single. Paul, I need you to call back tomorrow because I want to delve deep into what you're saying. But how are you going to call in the last 30 seconds of the show and say you women do anything? Because, you know, I'm not going to sit and stand for that. We're going to talk about that, Paul. We're going to talk about it tomorrow. But for today, we're going to leave it right here. Thank you for joining us. Today with Dr. K, the production of WEAA. The show is produced by Justina Pollard with assistance from our new intern, Deja Edwards. She's a junior here at Morgan State University, and we are excited about welcoming her to the family. I'm ringing my bell for her. Our board operators are Andre Melton and Charlie Fine is our new board operator, welcoming him to the family. Stay tuned. Up next is For the Culture with Faraj. Remember, folks, if it's happening around the country in your community or in the city, if it has your ear, you better believe it has my attention right here on WEAA 88.9 FM. Absolutely the voice of the community. Make an appointment. Meet me back here tomorrow and let's talk all over again and keep it here for a final update from MTA.